And good afternoon. It is 4 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. This is Finding a Voice, spoken word programming here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And coming up on the show today in the first hour and from the first round of the July 8th and the Journey Continues open mic reading in that monthly series at the Elm Cafe, you'll hear readings by Layli Jamali, Catherine Jones, Joe Cardinal, Michael Hay, Gwen Whitford, Moss Rott, Meg Freer, Leo Roberts, Fiona McMillan, Olivia Parent, Sonali Samaya, Penny Page, Don Spector, Eric Folsom, Carrie LeBlanc, Harlequin Crow, Judith Popiel, Marinus Sorensen, and me. And in the second hour, from June 8th, and the Journey Continues open mic, you're going to hear a reading, sent to me by Guvu, a.k.a. Gerving Dang, and then you'll hear readings at the Cafe in the second round that evening by Joe Cardinal, Kelly Chartier, Michael Hay, Gwen Whitford, Leo Roberts, Sonali Samaya, Don Spector, Eric Folsom, Harlequin Crow, and Judith Popiel, Marinus Sorensen, and me. And just my first mention at the, usually really at the start of each hour, is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but I try to play it as much as possible as it was read or offered to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. Brief mention, in case you're new to what readings in the round are, just very briefly, they're essentially, when people come in, there's a sign-up sheet at the door. If they want to read, they sign up, and I bring them up one at a time when the event starts, and they read one poem, and then sit down, and then I'll bring the next poet up. And then the way it works at the Cafe is that we go through, unless it would be incredibly long, we go through a first session and then take an intermission and then come back after the intermission for a second round of readings. And I introduce each poet. So I'm going to present these as the full round. So in this first hour, I'll be able to get the first round. So here, let's just go ahead and do it. From the first round, again, of the July 8th, and the Journey Continues monthly open mic reading held at the Elm Cafe. Let's go ahead and just start it, and you'll hear me introduce each person, so I'm not going to do it here. Here we go. The first poet, Layli Jamali.
Thank you, everybody. I am really honored to be reading this here, as it is my first time being here and being the first person to read this piece. I really normally do not write poetry in English. I did it for the Poetry Fest for the first time, and then it's just like an addiction. So this little thing that I'm piece that I even don't call poetry that I'm reading now is a piece of the series called Reflections on the Bus Stop. Because I take the bus, and this is I'm new to Kingston, and this is a new experience, so every new experience in that bus stop just turns to something in my feeling, and I just like to share this. I sometimes stop thinking which is the hardest, running a marathon or running to catch a bus. Having watched them both and setting a new record in one, I believe it must be the latter. standing in the old and tired buses stop opposite work, day in and day out, at the crystal of the freezing cold, scorching in the summer thunderstorm, muffled by the foggy vapors of humidity, wrestling with the swirling winds, carrying the dust from everything dead and alive, I have watched and cheerled many a time countless competitors from every age, race, gender and creed, belonging, of course, to a certain class, running the race. Aroused and breathless, pushing beyond their limits with each and every muscle they have and they don't, they split the curb, strangling with every might in every cell to catch the dashing beast darting away mercilessly, as if to catch the last breath of their lives before letting it go off their sweating palm. Setting the first foot on board, trembling to bone, their hearts keep throbbing, lungs flushing, their swollen tongues so sour and too brick dry to turn into a thank you, and their burning ears chiming so loud to muffle the blissful beep of the pass that confirms their coming back from an impassable NDE. Dazzled and overjoyed, they bloom into a vast and strange smile, soaked in the ecstasy of reincarnation, saying hello to the wild and savage world as a newborn. Thank you.
As we give Layli another hand, let's bring up Catherine.
Hi, everybody. The title of my poem is Detained. Shells of man glide through empty halls with deafening silence in pursuit of nirvana. Tiresome and dauntless, but necessary to find an oasis of tranquility and absolution. A haven to replenish their energy and pause. Salvation has been put on hold by dirty deeds of one's past life. Evil actions justify ramifications. Even with death, you face consequences and retribution. Thank you.
Let's give Catherine another hand. Let's bring up Joe Cardinal.
This poem's called Say It. When was the last time you told yourself, I love you? Not with pride, not with vanity. The whisper you give to someone who's made it through, to someone who's weathered every storm you've survived, who's kept you alive through heartbreaks, hangovers, and highway collisions of the soul. When did you last look into your own eyes, really look, and speak gently to the person staring back? To the one who stuck it out when you were one bad hour from the ledge. Imagine living all these years with someone you care about and never once telling them you love them. Absurd, isn't it? But you've done it to yourself. Every day, we all have. Gone decades beside ourselves, never once saying it out loud. We survive, we ache, we carry on, without ever offering ourselves the words we offer so easily to others. You're still here. That means something. It means you care, at least a little, enough to stay, enough to try. Even if you hide it in sarcasm, in beer, in to-do lists and unfinished notebooks. So say it, out loud, to the mirror. To your own tired reflection, a full look, eye contact, no blinking, no flinching, your name, I love you. Say it like a seed you've decided to plant, not because you're perfect, not because it fixes anything. Say it like a promise you forgot to keep. Say it because you need to hear it, and maybe one day you'll believe it. Thank you.
Cartier, let's give Joe another hand. Bring up Michael. Hey.
First of all, thank you everybody for creating this community. This is beautiful. And Kelly, thank you for encouraging me to do poetry on a personal note. Thank you. Nice. Okay, I'm not a political person. This is a political poem. The day after the United States election, I saw like a bunch of crows in the front yard, like looking like they're having a party, and this just came to me. So, all of the crows in my neighborhood secretly voted for Donald Trump. Having been raised by alcoholic veterans of the second most fantastic worldwide disagreement on historical record, they watch grainy VHS reruns of Jerry Springer and hold women up to the standards of 1990s Pamela Anderson, CJ Parker running slow-mo through their bird brains. While having become impotent from the chemically dyed food, Blue Number 2, in place of their culturally significant dish of seeds and squished cadavers of recently deceased roadkill feasts. On November 6th, a murder of crows struts through the curved suburban roads, flanked by a Ford F-150, their caw dulled by their diabetes. Distant stares, a look of victory and confusion, ensnared in billionaires' nightmares. Twitter used to be for the birds, but now X marks the spots. A treasure trove of slogans polished clean by an algorithm masquerading as Joe Rogan. Presently, one transforms into a deacon, a holy Joe, a holy crow, wearing traditional raven clerical robes. Turkey hunting camo feathers, a crimson red mega cap, beak unbroken and angled to the far right. A Jesus piece jangles around its neck, scraping the pavement as it shambles. Its walking stick tap, tap, tapping. Its sound had woke me from napping. Outside, I saw this morning parade and nothing more. What should be magical realism strains under the unreal commonality of crows electing a game show rapist amongst other subsequent American banalities. Aghast and dismayed, I take this parable to my stable, march into the flock with a stand-up dressing mirror to display for all the crows to see the shameful state of their present storybook fable. Look upon what you've become, mighty raven. If Corone could see you now, your place in legend would be undone. Once a universally celebrated trickster in folklore, now rendered codependent by an internet Floridian huckster, to my accusations there is more. Who will be this mischievous player in children's cautionary tales? Who will shapeshift and ominously predict our future, speaking only in riddles? Who will remind us of the wrath of the Apollo, who painted your beautiful white plume as dark as Mars black for being forthright and honest? Who will steal the sun in its beak, rescuing the world from icy darkness? Who will quench our thirst by teaching the logic of displacement simply by dropping stones into water? Who will fly through the nine realms across the rainbow bridge, reporting the concerns of man to Odin? Black-eyed they stared, looking at the mirror, compression in absence, until the strutting deacon produced a Bluetooth speaker, playing that hit from 1999, Kid Rock's Bow at the Ba. Each bird humming to the piper's tune, delta waves possess their mental domains. Pip, pip, Twitter, time to go back to sleep, birdie. Resuming the march into squalor, into oblivion, the mirror catches the rays of the sun and nothing more. In display, I return to my computer and begin the eulogy of this mythical creature, beginning with the background, all of the crows in my neighborhood secretly voted for Donald Trump.
And as we give Michael another hand, let's bring up Don Whitford. Don, Gwen Whitford, you were sitting side by side, I'm sorry.
Thanks, Bruce. Good evening, everyone. When I returned to Kingston in 2016, it had been my hometown many years before that, I was sort of lost in space. And I had arrived in this neighborhood not knowing anyone, not having a real clue about the place in the 35 years that I'd been away. But as I wandered around the neighborhood, I discovered a little gem that had recently opened. And that little gem has been part of my life ever since. I wrote this poem several years ago, as the Elm just celebrated 9th anniversary, and I just celebrated my 9th being back in Kingston. So the poem is called Therapy at the Elm Cafe. Smiling welcomes, words of cheer. This cozy place chases away fears and tears when succumbing to a cuppa and something sweet while gazing at wall art and posters. Mornings can be noisy, lively conversations and phone chats, others who tap with intensity on keyboards and devices. Afternoons are more solitary. Sometimes a lone student occupies the space, surrounded by soft sounds of jazz, creating a tranquil background in which I sip and sup and contemplate. After an hour or so, it's time to go. This respite of needed sustenance, nourishing and whole, enables me to carry on rejuvenated body, mind, and soul. Thank you.
Sorry about the introduction, Gwen.
Oh, no worries. No worries, Mom.
We give Gwen another stone, another hand. Let's bring up Moss Rot.
I've wanted a pet name since I was 3 years old, and I just found one, and it is Moss Rot. So this is my first time reading from my pen name. But throughout Pride, I wrote a poem every week that was a prayer. And I've been using prayer writing and poetry to sort of work through and deconstruct some spiritual trauma. And it's a way that I've been able to sort of slowly turn back towards a community that meant a lot to me. So this is a prayer of the non-binary. Beloved Creator, you have made night and day, water and land, man and woman. Hallowed be the God who works in binaries, yet is not bound by them. God is never limited by them. Love is never limited to them. Light and dark, land and sea, male and female. God in the act of the creation, in the act of differentiation, but not final division. Blessed be the dusks and the dawns who blur the binary. Blessed be the multitude of colors and fields of golden hours and rising suns. God breathing themselves to those in between spaces, the marshlands and shorelines among us, as above, so below, and everything in between. Hallowed be the God whose interconnectivity is woven in all things. Just as creators shape dusk and dawn and marshland spaces, so did creators shape us. The dusks of gender, the gender dawns are precious to your gaze. Outside binary, but not outside of God or possibility, not outside of holy, I am who I am. Fluid, mysterious, God self-identifies in a verb, not a noun. Not binary, but becoming. Becoming is holy. Holy to those of us who are becoming, who are ever becoming, who are shedding always past names, identities, past beliefs. We become new again and flow and become. We find ourselves in the majestic of that very fluidity. Hallowed be Christ who came to smash the binary mindset over and over. Holy versus unclean, leopards bleed, eating with sinners, blurring the binary. Centering women in a deeply patriarchal world, Mary Magdalene anointing oil, blurring the binary of justice and mercy, human and divine. Hallowed be the God who lives not in the either-or, but in rotation and rupture. Hallowed be the gray and the in-between, the all-around, the beyond, the ever-moving, the ever-transcending. Just as spirit in Hebrew is ruha, a feminine word meaning breath, wind, spirit, and pneuma, a gender-neutral word for spirit, we too cannot be contained. These are moments that break binary to vision of divine plurality. May we remember that binary thinking is a result of the fall. Eden spaces did not require duality. We were always meant to be one. It wasn't until we were split from love source that we required division and hierarchy. Our shame is what led us to death. Our shame, others, our shame requires the binary. Thank you for a God who came not to enforce that split, but reconcile all things. Hallelujah to the God of multitude. We are made in the image of such God, and humans span across gender, expression, and identity, and experience. And so too does God. Holy Father, Holy Mother, Holy King, Holy Midwife, Weaver, Eagle, Wind, Fire, not confined to one body, voice, or image. God transcendent. Holy be the spaces of the either or. They are spaces of Eden, of unity, where duality doesn't become a cage, but simply a part of the art form. Holy be the kingdom of God, for it is richly queer.
Give Moss another hand. Let's bring up Meg Freer.
Still here waiting. 50 years ago, she yelled at the old vagrant in London, "Put her down," when he hoisted up my sister in the Finchley Road pharmacy. Now she yells at God, "Stop picking me up," after every infection, every hospital stay. She doesn't want to remain on this earth. She phones and says, "I'm still here. God doesn't listen to me. I have to keep living this awful life." I wish she didn't have so much pain stacked on top of so many complaints that seem to compound one another. Does she remember she used to believe that Earth sings to us in spring, green, and sunshine, that we are at heart Easter people, people of hope and new life? Does she remember that ordinary living can be holy? Thank you.
As we give Meg another hand, let's bring up Leo Roberts.
Yeah, come to Quirks of Human Nature. All my coworkers will be there up on the stage. It'll be great. Am I projecting? Can you hear me back there, Jerry? No one back there is named Jerry. All right. So in March, I performed a piece called Petals for Vomit, and I've reworked it, and here it is today. I spew petals for vomit. It's prized perennial eject matter scattered at weddings and funerals. With my every utter petal stutter, hearts flutter, something, something butter. A wretched retching that forces flower fields to fold in shame. For my mother, on the motherest day, I sprayed a bouquet of nightshades, and it was not okay.
We give Leo another hand. Let's bring up Fiona McMillan.
Hello. All right. I wrote this poem a couple months ago, and I was actually just explaining this to a friend like an hour ago as we were getting ready to come here. But for the longest time, I started writing in high school, and I would only write in my notes app in my phone. And then about a year ago, right after my 20th birthday, I just randomly started writing in Word documents. And I don't know why, but that felt like a huge deal to me. So this whole poem is about that, and it's called Word Document Aging. Okay. I've been writing in Word documents instead of my notes app recently. Could it be? Am I aging? I don't think that's the case, but then again, there's no real explanation for this sudden shift, so maybe the winds of maturity really have settled under my wigs. It would be so cool if that was the case, but there's just no way of knowing, so I guess I'm not going to bother to find out. I've been writing in Word documents recently because I started doing yoga, and I think I'm finally seeing myself as a woman now. Not one of those half-functioning, vagina-bearing people. You know, the type that still waits for a man to buy her a drink at a bar and can't go to the grocery store without makeup. I mean a real, clean-cut, ripped-from-the-bone woman. I always dreamed about being rough and genuine, my porous skin impossible to smooth over with the pleasantries of the everyday. No spa trips or lunch discounts could make me better. I was sick, and I would stay rotten even longer. But now I wear denim on denim, and I read Sylvia Plath, and I don't question if I look like someone the jogger walking past would like to fuck. I actually don't think about my fuckability at all these days, which, ironically, makes me far more desirable. There's something about a girl who doesn't know that she has it. It's not even on her mind, her possible desire. It isn't anywhere in that sick soma. And once it had fully left, she realized just how much time and space it really took up. Suddenly, days felt longer. She could read books in one sitting and make meals for lunches, not just plates of ingredients, but real, full meals. She wondered if every born-again virgin felt like there was 25 hours in the day before moving towards the efficiency of a nun. She thought about this all. Could she have always been getting this much done if it wasn't for that eye burning in the back of her skull? Thank you.
And as we give Fiona another hand, let's bring up Olivia Parent.
She's always such a hard act to follow, I have to say. So, this is one I wrote in spring. It's no longer spring, but I'm going to go with it anyways. It's called In Need of a Deep Spring Clean. Can they see my tiled mind lined with browned grout? Beyond the streaky surface, can they see the coral and indigo blues? Can they see more than just the cracks, the grime, the fleeting specks of natural light that glooms itself away, all seemingly marking my mosaic in time? The apartment is old, you know. The other day I found mouse droppings under the kitchen sink. I duct taped aluminum foil to the plumbing cutouts to keep them away after that. And yet, I still miss their toe pad prints on my tiles. So these new visitors, will they leave this kitchen floor in search of the warm living room with the wine stains freshly bleached from the couch armrests? Will they make more stains settle in the space? Or will they walk out altogether once they realize that despite all the dirt, the dust, the stains, I keep saying that I'm cleaning? I hope to know so I can at least apologize beforehand for the mess and hope that will make a difference. In need of a deep spring clean. Thank you.
As we give Olivia another hand, let's bring up Sonali Samaya.
It has been so long. I'm so excited to be back. And I wrote these in excitement when I discovered that I was finally not scheduled on a Tuesday that this was happening. Okay. And like all my other poems, it has no title. To be born into the center of chaos is to inherit the idea that no else exists, or that if it does, it has yet to be earned. When all surrounding walls are made up of bricks layered with instability, the eye of said storm becomes directionally challenged. It plants its roots in voids that exist as glimpses of sunlight, not understanding that the very soil underneath it is grounding. Leaves and flowers sprout from those buds that have been forgotten as a simple break from the center of the storm gives enough room for growth. Yet each seasonal bloom eventually wilts as it couldn't possibly thrive in such a surrounding, and the center instead will plead guilt for infecting such growth with its chaos. The plants were never harmed, never wished ill upon, nor broken in half, but rather destined to only die. For roots planted in the midst of instability are not expected to branch out of further than its familial chaos. Thank you.
Give Sonali another hand. Let's bring up Penny Page.
I'm grateful to be back after, yes, it's a while I couldn't come. The title of this poem is Depression, an Unfinished Poem. I feel tiny, so tiny and so very old. I have limits that I could have never foretold. These limits aren't like any wall that I've known, but resemble instead a shifting war zone. I cannot reach out to touch them because they are made of the silk of a small spider's gauze. Each time that I try to push them away, I get caught in the middle and am soon forced to stay. Confusion surrounds me by day and by night, drowning my dreams and clouding my sight. I can't make decisions, my mind's on the run. This defect prevents me from seeing the sun. One of the things I'm missing the most is the hope that sometimes allowed me to boast. When pride is puffed up, it's putrid and dark. But when it is healthy, it says, I have a spark. A spark that can lead me into the future. But when that spark's dead, not even a suture can close up the wound that's made by the knife that comes from this illness that tears at my life. These repeating descriptions, impairment and pain, are not an illusion. I still feel the strain. They come to the present, first vivid, then blurred. The image is changed, the feelings not stirred. The initial decay brings relief and some joy. But soon I remember this isn't a toy, not something to play with and something that's fun. Feels more like a game of roulette with a gun. Russian roulette is the name of this game, when death is the prize and life is the same. The pictures of death that once held my heart now drag behind me like some ancient cart. I am the horse. I pull them along, not knowing which place I really belong. Sometimes those images jump to the front, bypassing my head like a cardiac shunt. They gallop, they race, they're completely in charge. I'm forced to go with them, I'm set and lethargic. These visions aren't visual, they're in the mind's eye, but linger like poison, a spiritual style. I slice at my wrists, I watch the blood spurt. It's all done inside me, and that's where the hurt stays to this moment. So I have no scars, at least on the surface, like drunks getting bars. I stab at my gut and the bowels tremble out. A scream builds inside me. But where is the shout that should push away all this horror and pain, changing the sound? An operatic refrain? It does not emerge, an Edvard Munch clone. There is no protection. I feel so alone. My hands feel like ice and my legs feel like lead. My energy is low and my passion is dead. Is there a future where I can heal? Or is this the end, my dear near meal? I can't help myself and no one helps me. No wonder, I give them so little to see. The loneliness sits on my chest like a weight. I have stalwart friends, I have a fine mate. But I feel close to no one, it's this damn disease. I cannot control it, try stifling a sneeze. I start to feel better, I'm looking ahead. Things prick my interest, I get out of bed. And just at the point I begin to resemble that small but determined red engine, I tremble. And nothing and no one possesses the power to keep me from sliding back into the sour place that depression has built in my heart. I'm stuck at the bottom, where only a fart breaks the dim silence and flavors the bland scheme of my life, where only the sand of an hourglass moves. Yes, time passes by, but I don't go with it. I stay and I cry. It's odd not to move while still growing older. The fears include this. I used to be bolder. I used to be active, energetic, and young. Now all of that's gone, a song that's been sung. Often I wonder why I keep on living, what makes me survive, what makes me keep giving the little I have. It's nothing that's deep. It's nothing profound. I hide in my sleep. At least at this level, drugs help me hang on. But sleep is a cheat, is a pimp, is a con. I love it, I grasp it. But when I'm awake, nothing is different. It's like an earthquake that shakes and that rips while my brain is in coma. Then I would awake and smell the aroma of death, of destruction, of horror and pain. Nothing accomplished and nothing to gain. Is there anything else that draws me away from the lemming trip Ginny Girl took on that day? So often the pills do not work. What a notion. Then I bury my gloom with a simpler potion. So how does it help consuming mass quantities? It helps my attention turn to my boundaries and continue to move me away from my core, looking outside myself where things aren't so sore. Yes, the potion is food in all sizes and shapes, but now I must contemplate using the drapes to surround my roundness like scarlet with velvet. Food helps me, but soon I'll be needing a helmet, for now I am fat and no longer belong to the in crowd unless I can sing them a song. That might release me from my prison box where the only clothes fitting are my ankle socks. But I'm not a singer like Garth or like Stan, so I hide in my house, still hoping no man will discover this person who used to be me. I have vague recollections that I sometimes see, but no one who's solid, who has a real name. My identity melts in a puddle of shame. Yet sometimes the drugs just don't do the trick, so I eat and I gorge until I am sick. This is no real pleasure when I inhale food, nor does my gorging lift my mean mood. But food aids the drugs and allows me to sleep, much like the dormouse with hardly a peep. I sink in the medium of Marshall's meringue, insubstantial, hypnotic, addictive, sublime. I know it's a palliative and nothing more, but often the tube saved my life, and I'm sure that these dramas and comedies, some in repeat, soothed my high tension and slowed my retreat into capsules and cookies, a neatly dunked grave. I'll never look down on this glow that helped save my life and my body, my damp sense of humor, when everything else in my life's like a tumor, growing lumpy, displacing the tissue that's healthy, making it likely I'll never be wealthy. Or wise for that matter, for wisdom takes time, and I feel so close to that last trembling chime. I suppose the word chime doesn't fit very well. I'm really describing the lowest death knell. So I don't see the box, the tube, or the vision as God or guru. But I know that the vision that bubbled and brewed and threatened to blow was cooled by TV, was turned down to low. So sing hail to TV, a palliative that's real. My approval I give with a formal wax seal. What else do I value? What else gives me hope? My dogs pierce the madness and help me to cope. They come to my rescue with wagging of tails, with soft doggy cuddles, with walks slow as snails. They sniff every spot where another has been and enjoy every moment it feels like a sin. They soften the sadness with generous love, expressed by a look, by a move, by a shout of a cold, cold black nose pushed into my face, a welcome invasion of my tiny space. Who cares about fame? Who needs to be bold when a kiss from a pup is more precious than gold? Thanks.
As we give Penny another hand, let's bring up Don Spector.
Hello. I'm getting ready to work as a typewriter poet at Buskers, so I've been preparing stuff for that. But I'm also putting together a book, and this is from way back when. But yeah, I found that this poem, which I wrote in my teens, has imagery that keeps coming through, keeps coming through. And so as I'm putting my book together, it's becoming a part of my book. So I'll share it with you. Grain grains of sand. Reaching, crawling, spreading out webbed hands, a piece of floating mucus, slowly sinking, slowly leaning with the pull of each action, sinking in a watery desert, tiring, failing, sinking, reputed with dirt. Bury a hole in the sand, the spongy cellulose seeking sand for truth. A hole in the sand, bury nothing, a wall, another wall, shoved into the hole. Bury the hole in the sound of sand. Dropping, falling, soundless, groundless. A grain of sand floundering on oceans of deserts, burying more and more. Time washes its bitter sand, smaller and smaller grains of sand floundering condense into one, a piece of land, the tectonic plate, the earth's shelf, solidified sand. A weak grain of sand causes pain, the pain of death. Alone in a desert seeking refuge in my mind, I weaken the walls and bury, bury, bury myself in the sand.
As we give Don another hand, let's bring up Eric Folsom.
Hi, thank you. Birds of a feather. She, my kinswoman, the robin nesting, concealed among leaves of the wild cherry, stared back at me with the steadiest eye, unflinching before my larger body. I wished good luck to her in the tree's crook, sky blue clutch of eggs under warm feathers, faultless immobile wooden decoy pose, her tiny black gemstone eye unswerving. Going back in July, there was no sign of her nest or any of the robins. Did the hatchlings fledge, make their way aloft? The brook babbled, but really said nothing. A stone graciously yielded up a sword. A lone child ran with a forsythia wand across the wet grass a lifetime ago. Don't suppose we've seen much of him either.
As we give Eric another hand, let's bring up Carrie LeBlanc.
Alrighty, so I don't have a title for this. I told my friend I'd go up tonight, so I wrote this earlier today or yesterday. Still a work in progress. I lie between floorboards, behind dressers amongst loose coins and lost buttons, dust in my seams. An object turned memory, once woven into dreams. No warmth or touch remains in the air I once knew, just echoes that stretch where hands never move. I grasp for the light of your golden gaze, but the truth of this fading grows clearer with days. Presence that lingered has turned away slow, and time tortures and teases as hours drift deeper where nothing may go. Oh, aching existence, growing just rust. Resistance I could, but acceptance I must. Fibers unravel, seams come undone. My color once vivid, now bleached pale by the sun. Life moves above, untouched, unaware, as I soften to dust and vanish into air. Thanks.
As we give Carrie another hand, let's bring up Harlequin Crowe.
So last Thursday, I submitted some poems to QT or Queer Toronto Magazine, expecting, you know, typical several months before I hear back, get a rejection, yada, yada, yada. By the end of the day, Friday, they had been accepted, published on their website, and had been paid. So I'm not saying I set a world record. I'm saying please no one disillusion me of the fact that I may have. And so that's what I brought tonight. Sun-kissed. Warmth bathes chest, hips, thighs, lips. No intimacy hidden as the sun savors each body basking in its glow. Exposed. Offered to affections, sighs teased from sensations, and then gasps. Thank you.
Let's give Harlequin another hand, and let's also give Grace, who's been taking good care of us tonight. Now, you, before I read and close, hi, Judith. Before I read and close, are there any people that would like to? I didn't see you come in. So, would you like to read, Judith?
Yes, please.
Go ahead. Woo. So, welcome, Judith Popillo.
On the way, so I had to stop at the Timmy's. I don't know, my stomach, so I'm late. Anyway, I thought of turning back, but then I said, well, maybe I'll be okay. So, it's a poem about the poplars in Deseronto that I wrote a while ago, and I'm still doing revisions. So, Bay of Quinte, Deseronto. A familiar spot along Old Highway 2, winter has carved its signature on the bay where a circle of tall old poplars grow, whistling in the gentle winds that winter brings, standing, it seems, bravely, strong and steadfast, survivors of many winter storms, trunks reaching a high upward above the shoreline. Sounds of pucks resonate against the silence of the moment. As I walk amongst the grandeur of this millennial forest, young boys skate hockey sticks in hand, pucks flying, frozen lake, winter, a natural playground for those Canadian boys. Oblivious to the cold. Spirit of poplars calls to my inner voice, whistling, whistling, winds of winter, crimson sun setting. Message is in the roots. Heart throbs, spirit calls. Once again, I am summoned to listen. Beyond the whistling, circular messages of years gone by tickle through my consciousness. Messages lay beneath the patterns of the branches and the bark of this old-time, worn-down poplar forest. I am learning how to listen to spirit. Thank you.
To give Judith, as we give Judith another hand, is there anyone else that came in late that would like to? Marinus, let's bring up Marinus.
This is the most recent thing I've written. I always worry about reading the most recent thing because I haven't had time to think about it, but then that's the what I want to hear. So It's called I'm Uncomfortable with Walls. I no longer feel comfortable indoors. I suppose I never have. The discomfort is ever on my mind now. I feel it in my bones. I feel trapped indoors, like a dog who needs let out. Indoors, I'm shut down. Indoors, I'm shut down. Outdoors, I'm alive. Indoors, I'm suffering. Outdoors, I'm fulfilled. I dissociate indoors. I'm not myself. I'm connected outdoors. I'm one with all. It is the doors that are at fault. With no doors, there is no in or out. The doors lock us in and the doors lock us out. The doors keep us from each other. They keep me safe from myself. The doors tell us where we are allowed to go. The doors tell us we must stay and obey. Some doors we keep as prisons in our minds. These doors are closed to us as long as we let them be. That's a good question. Who made these doors? Were they always here? What was here before? Perhaps before doors there were only openings. Openings are connections. Doors are for dividing us. With no closed doors, there are only openly connected spaces. Now there are doors all around me. There could hardly be more closed doors than there are now.
As a gift, Marinus, is there anybody else that wanted to read in this round that didn't get a chance? As a gift, Marinus, another round hand. Let's go ahead, and we've heard lots of wonderful readings tonight. Give yourselves another hand, and I'll grab my pen. And after this, we'll take a break, and then during the break, probably maybe about even 10 or 15 minute break, I'll go around and see who's brought a second poem and figure out how we're going to do the second round. This is called Reunion. You will arrive. You will come to me on the edge of a day. I will sense it. I will hear your breath. Long before I see you, walking along then toward me on and from and ever horizons pass. Today as you approach, I can see you now carrying a tiny package, a compact square box. In it you have placed a hand-sized parcel of hope. You speak of it and say you found it yesterday with something you say you thought you'd lost and forgotten. I place two fingers on top of the box. I can feel the warmth, the fullness, the pulse of what's within. I believe you know already, but I look at you and confirm that what's inside is indeed alive. This fragile thing you hold in your hands and near to you, so as careful not to let it drop or be taken, get lost again. I tell you to keep it close. You smile, and up against your chest, you pull it closer. You know already, some days, it will be all that you have. Thank you.
And you just heard from the first round of the July 8th and the Journey Continues open mic at the Yum Cafe, readings by Leili Jamali, Catherine Jones, Joe Cardinal, Michael Hay, Gwen Whitford, Moss Rott, Meg Freer, Leo Roberts, Fiona McMillan, Olivia Parent, Sonali Samaya, Penny Page, Don Spector, Eric Folsom, Carrie LeBlanc, Harlequin Crow, Judith Popiel, Marinus Sorensen, and myself. And tell you, it is right now 55 minutes after 4 o'clock. So let's go ahead and do this, and then I'll be right back.
Ah, Saturday mornings. Whether you're waking up in a stranger's apartment or enjoying some time with the family, you need a nutritional breakfast for your ears. So join me, DJ Overeasy, for Making Bacon every Saturday morning from 8 until 10 on CFRC 101.9 and CFRC.ca.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit KingstonHumaneSociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, different circles is moving. Same day, different time slot. We're now on Fridays at 9 p.m. Join me from 9 to 10 p.m. for an adventure through sound. Who knows? You might just find your next favorite song.
Monday.
Yeah.
When traffic's a nightmare. When the workplace is hectic. When your boss calls you in for a meeting. When nature isn't on your side. There's only one thing you can do.
But no need to wake up the neighbors. Tune in every Monday night from 11 p.m. to midnight for Shed Progressions, where we play an hour of cool jazz to help you relax after a long day. Again, that's Shed Progressions every Monday night at 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
We're not afraid to get a little funky.
And you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. And we do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. And we're getting close to 59 minutes after 4 o'clock. And first thing I'd like to do before we slide into the second hour is to thank you all very much for having tuned into this first segment, this first hour of the show today. And I do hope that you can stay tuned for the second, for more of the same from the same event. I would like to also thank all of those who participated in the event that evening, all those who shared their words, and all the others as well who just came to support. It was a great night.
And it was Muhammad
Darwish. I hit a button by mistake. Sensitive stuff here, folks. And would like to also thank our barista that evening, Grace, who took great care of us at the Elm Cafe, for being there as well. And, of course, always to the Elm Cafe that's been our home for this reading series for the past essentially 7, maybe even 8 years, somewhere in there, 7 plus anyway. And
always being a caring and supportive host. Just a quick mention.